Well, hello and welcome to Keep the Republic. Dr. Daniel Bobinski here, your host for the next hour. You know, when you have a government, people in your government who are violating state laws and federal laws, it is time for the people to say, you know what? I'm going to stand up and do something. I'm not going to wait for the white hats to ride in and save the day, because this government was designed to be a bottom-up government, not a top-down government. On today's show, we have some people who agree with that particular perspective, including Marissa Anderson. You might not know her name, but you may remember the name Baby Cyrus. 9 months ago, her baby was taken from her in violation of many state laws, and many people in this state came to her defense and stood up, and lo and behold, things got righted. We have her on to talk about what's happening. Also on today's show, Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan from the state of Idaho, also addressing that issue and more, which we will discuss when we come back with more Keep the Republic right after this.
I feel that Juvent is helping me to get better every day in every way.
That impact is what has been shown to help improve your bone density. Without that impact, you're missing a very important nutrient in your physical conditioning program.
The Juvent Micro Impact System allows the person to create more joint range of motion. Now I know there's a chance that nourishment can take place to that joint.
Hi, I'm Titus.
I'm Isaac.
We are the Smith Bros, and we love Uncensored Truth. This is why you need to be with Brighteon TV. They're so awesome. Go to Brighteon TV right now.
Right now.
Satellite phones have been wiped out globally because of the supply chain collapse and war in Europe. But a truly amazing new option has emerged, the BiviStick, which allows you to send and receive text messages using almost any mobile device without relying on cell towers at all. In a world where war, riots, or a power grid failure can happen literally at any time, the BiviStick and its two-way satellite messaging gives you the power to reach loved ones, to send emergency messages, or request a rescue. And to use this device, you do not have to register your name, and you don't need to turn on location services or reveal your geographic location. The battery life is several days in duration, and you can easily recharge it using a small portable power bank. There are only about 20,000 BiviSticks that will be available in America this year. Get yours now while they're still available at SAT123.com. That's SAT123.com. Here we grow again. Brighteon is expanding with our new daily live stream in Espanol. Anchored by hosts like Fior Hernandez, a former Telemundo and Fox reporter, Brighteon TV in Espanol is bringing over a dozen new hosts and shows to the Spanish speakers of the world who are seeking out the truth on everything. To watch, go to Brighteon.com, click on the Espanol live stream, and prepare to hear the truth in a whole new language. Brighteon TV in Espanol.
Welcome back to Keep the Republic. Dr. Daniel Bobinski here. Thanks so much for tuning in. As I said at the top of the show, we are not to wait for people on horseback riding along with white hats coming to save the day. That is not what this country is about. That was not part of the mindset of the founders. We have a bottom-up government, and we are supposed to do as God instructs, because really we have the freedom that we have in this country is to do what God told us to do. Take a look at scripture. We're not just saved by his faith. We're also saved to do things for him. It's second chapter of Ephesians chapter verse number 10. But more on that later. Let's first now talk about what an injustice that occurred in Idaho about 9 months ago. Maybe you heard about the story. Baby Cyrus, a baby who was having difficulty processing certain proteins, was flagged in the healthcare system, and lo and behold, the police, shall we say, overreacted a little bit. and ended up taking the baby, and the news was all over. I mean, it was just all over the place. Baby Cyrus abducted. And with us today, with some very good news, is the mother of baby Cyrus. Let's join right now with Marissa Anderson. Marissa, thanks for joining me here on Keep the Republic.
Thank you for having me, Daniel.
It is an honor to have you on the show. You have been through quite a bit. The past couple of months have been quite the roller coaster ride for you. What I have, for those that don't know or maybe haven't heard of the story, I have made several video clips of that particular night. And I thought we'd take a little time and show a clip and talk about it and show a clip and talk about it. Are you okay with that?
Absolutely.
Okay. So first, let's set the stage. You had some problems with your child processing certain proteins, right?
Yeah, it was after we introduced solid foods to him at around 8 months of age. He had some difficulty processing it, and just kind of going through that, he started vomiting. And in the beginning, we just kind of thought it was, maybe some digestive problems or even a stomach bug. So we took him to our naturopathic doctor, and he kind of put him on a plan there that looked like was promising. Just he needed some more gut bacteria growth and just these supplements to help aid in his digestion, which kind of made sense to us. But we ended up in the ER by the recommendation of our pediatrician that wanted us to take him in to get a hydration IV. And after we went in there, that's kind of where it all went south.
Because unfortunately, and I'm going to guess this happened to you, is a lot of times when there's issues with children, the doctors who have to follow their quote protocols, they'll have you sign a bunch of paperwork as you take your child out. And oftentimes in that paperwork, hidden amongst it in all the verbiage, and you're just signing papers because you want to go home. But usually in those papers are some sort of instruction that if there's any further concerns, then Child Protective Services can get involved. And that is what happened, isn't it?
So I'm not sure. It's not the paperwork that we signed. What actually started the call is after we had some follow-up appointments the following week. We were discharged on a Friday. We had a follow-up appointment with our pediatrician on Monday, then another one on Wednesday. And on that Wednesday, the pediatrician asked us to come in the next day to weigh Cyrus. He said, I won't even charge you for it. You won't even see me. I just need the nurse to log a weight. And so we were like, okay, sounds good. We'll be here tomorrow. The next day was a Friday, and I woke up with a sore throat, having not slept that week at all, right? And I called the pediatrician in the morning. The appointment was, I believe, at 10 o'clock. So I called before, left a voicemail, and said, hey, I'm not feeling well. Could we reschedule? Then I hung up the phone, went back to sleep. And when I woke up, my phone had a few messages from a social worker saying, we have some concerns with Cyrus. Call me back immediately. And my dad had called my husband and said that the police had showed up at his house looking for Cyrus and us. And that's when we realized, okay, how did this happen? Like, I just called, right? And woke up to all of this.
This was, yeah, definitely a setup, if you will, if you ask me, because then what happens is you guys are at a party, you're leaving the party, you're heading home, and the police just swarm and pull you all over.
Yeah, so it wasn't a party. We were actually, since our family was supposed to be moving the following week, a good friend of ours who's an ex-Marine and police officer, he wanted to make dinner for us that night since we were stressed with all the packing and having just had Cyrus in the hospital. So we decided to go that night, and I was like, no, I really want to make that and talk to him because this had just happened. So I wanted to ask him, what's going to happen? You know, how does this work? So we talked to him that night, and he basically said, you know, like, he's seen situations where there were kids in actual abuse and you couldn't take them because, you know, there's certain protocols that have to be followed, you need a warrant. And basically just told us we were fine. And then when we left his house, there was a patrol vehicle that was just sitting there watched us load into the truck. And we didn't realize it until we pulled out. And when we pulled out, the police officer pulled behind us. And then another one in front of us from another street. And then by the time we saw that third officer, I mean, my heart just sank. And we all kind of immediately knew, okay, this is really bad. And my dad and brothers were driving in a vehicle in front of us, so we called them, and we're like, you know, these police, they're following us. And so he was like, hey, just pull into the gas station, we'll be right behind you. So they follow us in the gas station, and that's where all the video starts.
So yeah, so we're going to start with this first video, and you started recording after your husband had already been extracted from the vehicle, slammed against the hood, and we're going to start this video seeing him being taken away, and then they switch their attention to your sister, who happens to be sitting in the front seat. Yes. Let's go ahead and roll that tape.
No, I'm not moving. For what reason? What crime did I commit? What crime did I commit? What crime did I commit? What crime did I commit?
No, Miranda, let them. Miranda.
I'm getting out. I'm getting out. Let me get out. Okay. Hang on. I will step out.
Get out of the car.
Try to get out of the car.
Dad, it's okay.
For felony injury to child.
For felony injury to child? That's not my child.
That's not your child?
You should know how to do your job better.
Is that your
job?
I'm not answering.
Okay,
you're under arrest.
Totally shocked by that when I saw that. And here he didn't even ask for identification, didn't want to know who she was, and yeah. Says she's under felony arrest for harming a child. Or it's you're sitting in the back seat watching this.
Yeah.
Very poor police work. No investigation, no inquiry as to what's going on. Very reactive, overreactive, I think is a very good word. And you're sitting in the back seat. What's going through your head?
Yeah, so I'm seeing this, of course. I see my husband get taken out of the vehicle, and he's asking, hey, can I speak with my attorney? And they're like, no, we're not doing this. They slam him up against the window that I'm sitting in with the baby, holding the baby. And I hear him asking, what am I under arrest for? And one of the officers says, he's under arrest for felony injury to a child. And then I see them go up to my sister and they arrest her for the same thing, felony injury to a child. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that's what they're going to try to arrest me for. And all these things going through my head, you know, can you even get bailed out with a felony? I don't know. You know, I don't know how this works. I've never been arrested before. And so obviously just so much fear, because at least when I was sitting back, you know, I had my husband and I had my sister, I felt a little bit of a form of even just emotional support and protection. And as they took out my husband, they took out my sister, in my head, it's just like, okay, it's just me and the baby now. And basically I'm his only hope of, I'm the only one that can advocate for him. At this point, it's all up to me. And so, yeah, it's just a lot of fear.
Sergeant, I believe his name is McGillery, and he comes over now after he realizes that he made a mistake. He's got your sister double handcuffed in the back seat of a car. By the way, I can't believe he said you're under arrest for providing false information to an officer without even investigating who she was and that she was telling the truth. Just horrific police work.
Yeah.
But then now this next video clip is this same sergeant now coming to you, and he's played Jekyll Hyde. He is now Mr. Soft and Easygoing, and we got about a minute. I want to let the people hear the promises he was making to you. Let's go ahead and roll that tape.
We're going to take him to the hospital. And if you want to go, you can.
Can I ride with him?
Yes, you can. Okay. We'll get an ambulance here to transport you.
Okay.
So what I want you to do, though, is give me him. I'll let him back to you. I'll give him right back to you.
Do you promise me you won't let him at my side?
But these guys are going to make sure that you don't have any weapons.
I promise.
I'll stay right here with him, with you.
Not out of my sight.
I will do that.
Okay.
But they're going to make sure you don't have any weapons or anything like that.
All right.
What's your name?
I can't let him go.
I will stand right here with you, I promise.
You have to take him from me. I can't.
Okay.
No.
Come here. It's okay. They're going to check and they will give him right back to you.
I can't. I promised him I wouldn't let him go.
I would give him right back to you, okay? But you got to promise me, okay? You got to promise me, okay? I'll give him to you, and that you could promise me you go to hospital with me and him. We'll ride with him in an ambulance. We'll take you to the hospital, okay? You too. We're worried about him. Make sure he's okay.
I know.
So come with us, okay? And let's take him to the hospital and get that checked out, okay?
Oh my gosh. We promise you can ride in the ambulance with him to the hospital. We promise you can stay with him. What's going through your head?
Yeah, this is, I like I mentioned earlier when we spoke on the phone, it really seemed to me now looking back at it, like he was just really trying to gain that trust of me and showing that, look, you can trust me. You know, I'll make this promise and I'll keep it. And then later when he went and lied, you know, obviously I went in the ambulance and that's not how the story ended. It was in a sense like he was grooming me. You know what I mean? Just kind of showing, look, you can trust me. This is safe. I'm safe. And I did kind of a little bit start to trust him. Like, okay, he promised me I'd get the baby back. I got the baby back. And that's why I went into the ambulance, because I had the hope that they would keep their promise. Right. I believe there was another officer as well that said and promised that I could stay with the baby.
Right. And so the next video clip we have is you filming inside the ambulance. Let's go ahead and roll that tape.
The officer told me that I could go with him in the ambulance into the hospital.
Yeah, and I don't know what was said before then. I was not a part of that conversation.
You can't okay. Take him. You can't.
Okay.
Please, can you help me out here? Please.
My concern today is for him.
I know your concern is for him, but I don't cause him any harm by being with him. Okay. Okay, I'm his mother. And would you also understand, is he has difficulty with proteins. He only takes breast milk.
Okay.
He needs me. He really needs me, okay? I really need your help.
Like I told you, I'm not the lead detective on this, okay? So I'm here assisting.
Is she gonna go?
What are we waiting on? Yeah, let's. Thank you. All right. So, Marissa, I need you to hand over the baby to the ENT.
Okay? I won't.
Marissa, I really
can
don't
you please
want
help me
you
out
to go
much.
To jail tonight.
I don't.
But I'm telling you, if you don't allow this to happen, you're going to jail.
For how long?
That's not up to me. But you will be placed under arrest if you do not comply with what we're asking you to comply with. So if you could please hand him over so he doesn't have any further harm for us having to try and take him away from
you. I promise him I won't let him go.
And I understand that, and you'll have a chance to give him back at some point, okay? The state's all about reunification, but
no,
right
but
now,
they're not.
We need to move us. Okay? And I really don't want to have to forcibly remove him from you, but if that's the case, I will do that and you will go to jail. So you have one option at this point. You need to give him to the EMT, and you can go on your merry way with your friends and your family who's out there.
That's not merry at all.
Or I remove him from you, and you go to jail. You need to make that decision. You need to make it now, please.
I won't let him go.
Okay. Go ahead and jump out of the way for me.
Again. Oh my gosh, I'm sitting there. First of all, I give you an A+ for how you handled yourself and your desire to protect your child. And you were promised by several officers prior to going in the ambulance that you would be able to ride with the baby to the hospital and stay with the baby. And then it was a bait and switch. And you get in the ambulance. And now they say that we're going to arrest you unless you give up your child. And what was very, to me, the ultimate insult, I don't think there's a parent on the planet that would have acquiesced to that, just give us your baby and go on your merry way. How rude, how insulting. And I thought you handled yourself phenomenally. What happened after they took your child?
Yeah, so that was, like I mentioned earlier, there was so much fear happening at that point. And at that point, I had to give it up to God because I knew that I didn't have the emotional strength or stability to be able to get through something like this or to be able to handle myself. And so before I stepped out of the truck, I remember praying that just, Lord, you have to take this from me. I really need your help tonight. I don't have the strength to do it. I can't do it. And I asked for peace, and I did feel this sense of peace coming over me. And like I felt, and I knew that God was in control and that he would absolutely hold my hand through this. And that was the only reason why I could even keep myself partially together through that. And so, you know, a lot of people say that They think I handled it well. Obviously, going back, there are some things I would change, but any level of emotional stability that was there, that is just from that peace that I believe that God gave me. But what was going through my head at that point, I was honestly in shock. How could this happen? Where did I go wrong? I mean, they make you start feeling so guilty as a parent. Like, what did I do? My husband and myself, we were just trying to get help for our son. We've gone to multiple doctors by now. My husband hadn't worked in a couple weeks, just literally focusing on trying to figure things out for my son. And I'm thinking, where did we go wrong here? Can you not, just go into a hospital?
You guys did great. And I want to be hats off to the community as well, because dozens and dozens of people showed up at the hospital protesting. This was clearly, the word got out quick. And people were protesting, and rightfully so. Many, many laws were broken when this transpired, by the way. And if people want to read the story, they can go to trueidahonews.com and read this story. We have links in that story at trueidahonews.com, which will take people to the website that your father put together, which shows all the different laws that were broken in the abduction of your child. As a matter of fact, the lieutenant governor of our state also stepped up and said, "Hey, governor, you're in charge here, really. The CPS and the Health and Human Services, they all report to you. You're not really doing your job here, Mr. Governor. This is a lot of laws being broken." So I'd like to bring on to our conversation here, Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan of the state of Idaho. Lieutenant, thanks for joining us here on Keep the Republic.
Yeah, it's great to be with you today, Daniel and Marissa.
So you have, and I got this headline here, Idaho Lieutenant Governor calls out Governor Brad Little for not intervening in Baby Cyrus medical kidnapping case. What was going on in your mind?
To watch those, and Marissa, you are a strong woman, and I'm sure you've seen those videos over and over again, and I'm watching them again. I watched them at great extent also during that time, and just the horror of it. I just can't imagine experiencing that as a mother. So my support is for you, and my heart, my sympathy, and that next day, that Saturday, I did reach out to the governor and asking him to intervene in this case. And I received an email back from his attorney on Monday morning. Basically, his attorney said, his exact words were that he would not be recommending the governor to intervene in a legal situation. But when you review the statutes and the way that the rules are written in the Administrative Act, even though the police had been called to the scene, and maybe they were viewing it in that way, a legal case, but until it gets worked through the system and you have your rights, the full authority to act rests with the agency. And as the CEO of the state, it's written that way in a statute that the Department of Health and Welfare has the authority to intervene in the case and find a safe place. So they could have sent baby Cyrus, they should have sent him home with you. They should never have taken him in the first place. And they could certainly have given baby Cyrus over to your mom and dad. They had the full authority to do that. And Governor Little chose not to do so.
Which is really sad.
Yeah, I think the whole message of what you wanted to talk about today, Daniel, is that we must, as we the people, we must remain diligent in our actions, and we must turn our hearts and our faith to God even during these difficult times. And I would say that all glory goes to God now, because even though you and your family have been through so much, that our prayers have been answered in your case. And it's because we turned our hearts to God and we intervened. A lot of thousands of people, not just in Idaho, but all across the country, were praying for you and your family. And so even though it did take a long time, and I wish that you wouldn't have had to have that experience, we can give recognition to where it's due, and that is to our Father in heaven, who, if we pray and we make an appeal to him, he will hear our prayers.
Amen to that. And the good news is now, Marissa, we just got a few seconds left, but all charges against you and your family have been dropped, right?
Sir, all three cases, the case with my son, dismissed in family court. The resisting obstructing case for my sister Miranda, dismissed. And finally, my case as of 2 days ago is dismissed. So all charges against my family dropped, which is amazing.
That is
praise
that
God.
Is yeah. Yes. That yes. is great news. Now, I understand you, I mean, you informed me that your family is planning on filing suit for wrongful arrest. And again, as Lieutenant Governor pointed out, there are statutes that were violated. And I'm hoping that justice is served. You guys were certainly violated in your situation. We are unfortunately out of time. We're at the bottom of the hour. And Marissa, I want to thank you for being on the show. Stay tuned, though, to Keep the Republic, because we're going to have Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan on in the second half to talk about some stuff that she's doing in her final days while serving her term here in Idaho. Be back with more Keep the Republic right after this.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com. And we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
Hey guys, this is John Strand with JohnStrand.com. And I want to encourage you to get the uncensored truth at Brighteon.tv. God bless America.
Hello, I'm Dr. Steve Hotze. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you fed up with your doctor giving you drugs simply to mask your symptoms rather than treating the cause? As you age, I believe you should be brimming with energy, vitality, and enthusiasm for life. The Hotze Health and Wellness Center treats individuals from all over the country and world in an environment of extraordinary hospitality. We specialize in the treatment of allergies, yeast, replenishing natural hormones, vitamin and mineral supplementation, and a healthy eating lifestyle, all of which boost your immune system, increase your energy level, and your health span. If you'd like to obtain and maintain health and wellness naturally without pharmaceutical drugs, then contact one of our wellness consultants today at 281-698-8698 or visit HOTZEHWC.com and request a free copy of my best-selling book, Hormones, Health, and Happiness.
Riots, recession, food prices, gas prices, violation of our liberties. These issues are keeping Americans awake at night. Sleepless nights aren't good for your health. Millions are suffering from sleep gap disorder. I'm Dr. Steve Hotze, and I have a natural solution to overcome this dreaded sleep gap disorder, my proprietary sleep formula. One capsule of sleep formula will help you achieve a great night's sleep for as little as 75 cents per night. Visit our website, physicianspreferencevitamins.com, and enter the promo code SLEEPNOW. It's hard to stand up against tyranny when you're tired. Pray for our country and get a good night's sleep.
Welcome back to Keep the Republic. Thank you so much for tuning in here on Brighteon. And by the way, if you'd like to support this network and this show, there's a very simple way to do that. Let's just go to the Brighteon store and shop there, because a portion of your proceeds of what you purchase there goes to help this network and goes to help this show. When you go, you can save yourself some money. Just go to BrighteonStore.com, use the promo code KTR. It's easy to remember. Keep the Republic, KTR. That's going to save you some money. It's going to send some money to the show and help keep this network going. Lots of good, high-quality merchandise at the Brighteon store. I shop at the Brighteon store. My friends shop at the Brighteon store, and you should too. When you go there, again, use the promo code KTR, Keep the Republic. Makes it easy to save yourself some money and support this fine work that we do here on Brighteon. Now, before the break, we were talking with Janice McGeehan about the situation here in Idaho. Janice, you had some more thoughts about the legalities of what was going on here. You watched it happen. You were involved. You're trying to get the governor to take an action on it. What are some more of your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's really just also to bring back to your message today, I think, Daniels, as a nation, that we have to make sure that we stay focused and remain a moral country and recognize the role of God in our lives and in our nation, because it forces us to be humble as humans. And so whether you're an elected official or you're a member of law enforcement or someone in a healthcare capacity, someone working in the agency, if our pride and our arrogance comes before our humbleness, that's when so many mistakes can be made. And I'm back to the video that I was watching with Marissa and her family, the arrogance and the audacity of the police officer who just said, if you just give us your baby and you can go on your merry way. Who says that? Who says something like that to and think that that's okay? And then also, again, back to our pride and our arrogance, if we're not following the rule of law and what this nation is based on, our freedoms and our liberties, the protection of our rights, if we're not following those laws, when the police officer went to grab her sister out of the front door of the car, didn't even ask who the person was, I try to identify who that person was, whether it was the mother, whether it was Marissa, the mother, or somebody else. He just yanked her out of the car in the act of defiance and arrogance. And it's just such a violation of our basic human rights. And it was shocking to see that happen in Idaho, in our state, Idaho. It's hard to even think that it was only a few months ago, you know, when that happened was back in March of this year. And that's why it's so important that we remain on guard as citizens and as we, the people of this great nation. We have to stay engaged. We have to be educated to know what our freedoms and our rights and what they are and where they come from.
This is, you know, I was on Alan Key's show earlier today. And we were talking about this very thing, that unless you understand the Declaration of Independence, then it's very difficult to understand the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Because when you go through the list of grievances that they listed in the Declaration of Independence, why they were declaring independence, and you understand the different events related to every one of the little phrases that you see there, there's a whole series of events that they were referencing. And then you go to the Constitution and you see this in the Constitution and that in the Constitution, then you go, oh, that's there because of this.
Right.
You
know, yeah.
You have this here in the Constitution because of this article and this definition here, this incident in the Declaration. And so you really need to understand the Declaration of Independence to understand the Constitution and how our rights were being violated. Mm-hmm. That now we have here the sister, the aunt of baby Cyrus, being pulled out of the car, not identified. There's laws in place that simply the same kind of stuff that was happening at the time of our revolution. Now, to that point, let me also bring up that there are a lot of people right now who would come against people like me and probably people like you to say that we who are trying to restore the Constitution are trying to undermine the Republic, undermine the government and overthrow the government. To which I heartily say, no, we are trying to restore the government, not undermine it. We're trying to restore it. If anybody's trying to undermine it, it's the people who would like to do away with the Constitution. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's as the lieutenant governor, one of my duties is to preside over the Senate while the Senate is in session. And just maybe 2 weeks ago, today, actually, yes. It was the Organizational Senate of the Idaho Legislature, and my duty was to issue the oath of office to the new senators and then recently elected senators. And so I read from the preamble to the Constitution. I wanted them to know that the oath that they were taking, put the hand over the heart and swear the oath to the Constitution, I wanted them to know the primary reason for them to be there is embodied in the preamble to of our Constitution, where it says, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity." That is the purpose of any of us being in the position, and that is to secure the blessings of liberty. America is an amazing and blessed nation, a nation that our founding fathers, the early settlers came to America for the sole reason of being able to worship their God freely. Mm-hmm. And that is really, truly, we are we're a Judeo-Christian nation founded on those principles of religious freedom and liberty. And as a Christian who I have accepted Christ as my Savior, and he is the Savior of mankind. And it is a basic fundamental principle of Christianity that we live in freedom. We're not bound to we're not slaves to the bondage of the sin. We're free. And it's because of this faith and this salvation. That's what makes America so great, that we are a nation that's founded on those principles of mm-hmm. freedom and liberty that I believe are embodied in the Christian faith.
And I couldn't agree more, especially when you read the writings of our founders. And regular viewers of this show know that I quote John Adams and John Jay and George Washington quite a bit, even Thomas Jefferson, who was a deist. But I mean, the famous quote from John Adams, where he was writing as sitting president to the Massachusetts militia, when he said that our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And the word religious at that time was a synonym for Christian denomination. And so with that just abundance of writing that we saw from the founders at that time, while they were in office and serving in office, and they're talking about the need for faith, you recently posted something. You've been the acting governor while our governor's been out of state, and he's been overseas doing his little junkets, but here you are now as acting governor, and you issued a message, and I saw this, and I go, okay, I want to ask Lieutenant Governor to come on the show and talk about this, because this is powerful. This reminded me so much of our founders. And if we can get the producer to put this up, this message from the acting governor, Janice McGeehan, right here, it says, "December is a wonderful time of year. We celebrate Christmas. We spend time with our family and friends, and we give gifts to those we love. The joy and merriment we share can sometimes get in the way of reflection, however, and cause us to lose sight of what we are truly commemorating, the birth of our Savior." And the letter goes on, I mean, this announcement goes on, and then you said, "And as we close out this year and my term as lieutenant governor comes to an end, I ask you to join me in offering a prayer for our great state." And you open up your prayer by saying, "Heavenly Father, we ask that you shine your light upon this land, this great state. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. We pray for unity to heal our division, wisdom and integrity for our chosen leaders. But most of all, Lord, we pray for the salvation of our state and our nation." And the prayer goes on. And by the way, if anybody would like to read this, we will be linking to this message from Lieutenant Governor at keeptherepublic.us, as well as trueidahonews.com. So if you want to go to either one of those websites, keeptherepublic.us or trueidahonews.com, you'll be able to read the entire announced message from Lieutenant Governor, acting governor at the time when she published it, Janice McKeon. Janice, you know, something that ties into this is as I said, this whole Christian nation. There are those who are going to argue with you about that. They'll say, "We're not a Christian nation." And yet the Northwest Ordinance is one of our three founding documents that a lot of folks don't even take into consideration. And if we can get the producer to put this up, this is something that I clipped off of the Northwest Ordinance. It's Article 3 from the Northwest Ordinance, where they're talking about the need for public education. It says religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged. When you take a look at that, he starts off saying religion, again, that study of Christian faith, that was the term that was used back then to mean Christian study, morality and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged. So what they're saying and implying there, obviously, when you read this document and others, is that religion and discussion of morals and religion, aka Christian foundation, was to be taught in our schools. Most folks don't know about that. We've been seeing a lot of stuff happening, Lieutenant Governor, even in Idaho, where they're trying to bring in drag queen story hours. And you're the outgoing governor, Lieutenant Governor, so there's not much that you can do about this as you're leaving office. But what are your thoughts about these public schools bringing in such degradation?
Yeah, well, first let me just comment on what you read from the ordinance, and also just to comment on the founding fathers' intent and the founding of this nation. A good friend of mine, Michael Law, he wrote a book about the Constitution. He's a local author in Idaho, and he goes into great detail to explain the writing of the Declaration of Independence, where, you know, it says that these rights are, even if you refer to them as the laws of nature, the laws of God, the laws of nature, we as human beings acknowledge that there's a greater purpose, and that's God. And so there's this, even a set of rules, you know, in the laws of nature, and he kind of goes on to explain what he means by that, that we're all governed by a sense of right and wrong and morality, and that's in our conscious because we are children of God, and he has given us that free will, and he's given us that conscious, and so it's there, it's automatically there, that what we believe to be the choice between right and wrong, and that's why it's important that we recognize that and we act to live out our life in faith. Okay, so now to go to your question about specifically what we're being taught in our schools today, it's really what we should be doing is looking at our basic founding documents. I mean, we don't even have to go any farther than our statutes, where it says, whether it's sex ed, it says that sex education in the classroom in Idaho shall be limited to only teaching about the anatomy and the physiology of the human body, and it shall not go beyond that, because that is the role of the family to teach the kids about that. And so we have to just go back to the basics. We do need to return back to teaching greater civics in our schools, get away from this stuff, social, emotional learning that is being pushed into our classroom today, going away from Common Core, which was pushed into our public education system here in Idaho under a superintendent that was a member of my party, the Republican Party. We need to just go back to the basics and make sure that we're teaching our kids basic learning skills, how to read and write and do arithmetic, but also teaching them about our government, that the formation of our government, the truth of the history of our government, and that the fact that America is the greatest nation on the face of this planet. Our Constitution has outlived any other constitution ever in time, and we are the greatest nation in America, and we should be teaching our kids that nothing holds them back. The world of opportunity is there for them, but we do need to properly equip our kids with basic skills. And I don't believe we're doing that in our classrooms today. I mean, the scores show that.
And you mentioned that Common Core was brought into the state of Idaho with the leading of the former GOP chair. We should point out he was, at the time, a superintendent of schools for the state.
Yes. And
I have actually seen the document that he and then Governor Butch Otter signed that brought and authorized Common Core to be taught in this state. There was not one legislative vote from any elected legislator, any elected senator, a representative to say, yes, let's bring Common Core in. No votes brought that to the state. It was just the signature of a state superintendent of schools and the governor of the state. That to me is criminal, if you ask me. This is supposed to be a bottom-up government. We're supposed to have input as to what happens in our public schools. And this is why I say, you know, we shall not wait for the people in the white hats to ride in and save
That's
the
right.
day.
I mean, we need to be aware of what those decisions that they're making. And it's, and again, and that's an example of the greed that comes into play. The reason why the signature from that superintendent and from the governor at the time was because they wanted to access President Obama's Race to the Top grant funding that was available to schools. That is why they made that application. And that and the note, what did he call it? The I can't remember, Luna Laws, it was Tom Luna, and he called it, they had a name for a set, there was a set of laws that was going to implement the money that was received from this application from the Obama administration, Race to the Top. You know, just instead of like looking at what are we doing in the classroom right now, what do we need to do to build up our, you know, our families and support our families and do it the Idaho way, we're going to reach out and we're going to grab some of this money from the Obama administration. And that's how it got implemented into our state, this Common Core that has done nothing but a disservice to our kids.
It's dumbed us down for sure. And just recently, this past summer, the governor, Governor Brad Little here in Idaho, authorized more than $4 million to be spent more in public education. It's all about the money, right? They talk about numbers of dollars per student, except that they're not looking at the data. Of course, we don't want to let facts get in the way of a good story, but you have the growth in education. When you take a look at dollars spent on students, per se, in the classroom, single digits has increased over the past 20 years. Dollars spent to increase the number of teachers, single digits over the past 20 years. Dollars spent to increase administrators over the past 20 years, over 80%. Uh-huh. So when we see all this money coming to education, we're going to give more money to the schools. I would recommend no more money to schools unless we say cannot be spent on administration, must be spent directly on classroom situations.
Right. You're right. That the greatest increase in the spending has been in the administrative level, and that's the perversion that we see when they want to bring this more money in. It's just building up more and more of the system that is a broken system, rather than making sure that it's going to where it's being needed the most, and that is in the classroom.
If we're gonna spend money, it needs to be that way. I want to call attention to our former state of Massachusetts Constitution, what used to be in the Constitution of the state of Massachusetts, just to remind people that the Christian worldview that the Lieutenant Governor and I've been talking about here for this show is very much ensconced in writing that you can go back and read. I want to ask you, the producer, to pull up this Massachusetts from the Constitution of the state of Massachusetts. If you were going to hold public office in this state, this is from their Constitution verbatim. Any person chosen governor or lieutenant governor, counselor, which would be lawyer, attorney general, senator or representative, and accepting the trust, shall, before he proceed to execute the duties of his place or office, take, make, and subscribe the following declaration. I do declare that I believe the Christian religion and have a firm persuasion of its truth. That wording similar to that can be found in every state constitution before the creation of the U.S. Constitution. So when you had people who were delegates of the various states coming together in Philadelphia to reformat the Articles of Confederation and create our state our federal constitution, these people all came from states where that mentality was already firmly ensconced. And they would probably believe, with all reasonableness, that anybody elected to office to represent their state or to run is already going to have that kind of adherence. Governor, we just have a few seconds left, and I mean just a few. What are your final thoughts as we close?
Well, as I did issue the oath to the new senators a couple weeks ago, and I encouraged them to agree to pledge their allegiance to the Constitution and the laws of the state of Idaho, and then to proclaim loudly at the end of their oath, "So help me God." And the good thing is that most of them did, and it was out loud across the rotunda of the Senate. We do pray every day before the Senate chambers, and we have above the president's desk, "In God We Trust." If our state leaders, if our elected officials follow that creed, there's no reason why we shouldn't be following that in our with our kids.
Oh, that we all would. Oh, that we all would. Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan, thank you so much for joining me here on Keep the Republic.
Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate the opportunity. It's good to see you again. You
bet. Well, next week will be the next show here on Keep the Republic before Christmas. We'll be here live on Thursday. Catch us again next week. This has been Keep the Republic. Dr. Daniel Bobinski, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll catch you then. Until then, be blessed.